No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith and Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew. Once again, for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Happy New Year to you and yours, and hopefully the holidays have been treating you well. Guys, how are you? You doing okay?
Doing very well.
Yeah?
I've had great holidays.
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't sound very convinced.
Well, you know.
Okay. Well, you know.
He is the Grinch. You know?
Is that what it is?
Bah humbug. Yes.
All right. Well, it's kind of New Year stuff. Are you sure you're not just hungover?
No.
Okay. He's not sure.
I don't know. He's drinking coffee.
Yeah. That's only because I did have a late night flight coming back in. Didn't get in until like 1.
Okay. That's so your excuse.
And up at 6. Like
that's why you're going.
Yeah.
That's a story you're going to stick to for now. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, we got a lot to cover. And, you know, when it comes to aviation news and information, then a bunch of other stuff we're going to just throw in for fun and festivities.
But more importantly, happy anniversary to us.
Absolutely. That's right. It is our anniversary. We launched Just Plane Radio, four years now.
4 years ago.
It flies by when you're having fun,
and
literally.
It was a January 1st show.
Yeah, it was. Now, you know, I didn't even realize that.
I knew that because he didn't talk about it beforehand, so that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yes. You know, usually I would think about these things.
We had about the same weather conditions, though.
When we first started the show, we were in the Bahamas, weren't we?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like the Bahamas. Ed wasn't there, though.
Ed wasn't there for the first show of Just Plane Radio.
Woo-hoo! Because
he wouldn't get his passport renewed.
Still hasn't.
Four years later. Hello?
I did walk right into that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
We knew what to get him for Christmas this year, but neither one of us wanted to put up the bucks to do it. You know, those passports cost way too much money now. But one of these days, we'll get them squared away, and we'll head over to the Bahamas together. Matter of fact, Cuba's on my itinerary for 2016. So,
I'll go to Cuba with you.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that a little bit on the show today.
That would be cool.
It would be.
I would like to go see that.
Yeah, you'd be up for that one, too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's...
Think he'll get his passport now?
No.
That wouldn't be enough incentive to go to Cuba?
Are you paying? If you're paying for me to go to Cuba, I'm there. With your own credit card.
No, here's the deal. All right, let's just get right into this. We're going to talk about some drone stuff, and we got some other holiday fun stories that we're going to share. But let's get right into this Cuba thing. Because, last week on my scuba show, Scuba Radio, one of my dive friends called me and said, hey, I have a contact in Cuba that would like us to come down and do a little, a dive research project down there on lionfish and that kind of thing. So we have a waiver, not that you really even need one at this point. I'm not even sure how that works at this point, but you know, you do technically need a some kind of waiver exemption to be able to fly into Cuba still, even though the restrictions are pretty loose. And just to give you an example, like one friend of his evidently flies down to Cuba. And he goes under a humanitarian umbrella or exemption. And this is totally off the record. Since no one was listening right now anyway, it's the holidays, I can say this. He just basically takes 10 old T-shirts down with him that are kind of worn out and just throws them in the plane and gives them out to the locals. And that counts. And he's, oh, yeah, okay, good. Stamp, he's approved. Come on down. You know, and that's... I don't know. I probably got someone in trouble at this point by saying that, didn't I?
Don't try and give them the airport ramp workers a Coke or something like that.
I mean, Coke would not be the right thing. Pepsi would be much safer alternative.
No.
No? It wouldn't either?
No, you can't give them anything.
You can't. Well, if you gave it to them for free.
Nope.
Why? What would happen?
They would get fired.
Oh, if they took any gifts from Americans?
We went down there all the time.
Yeah.
We would do it, but
well, how did
I mean, actually, we wouldn't give it to them. We would accidentally leave it sit right in the way that they had to walk, so they have to pick it up.
Yeah. Well, like an old T-shirt, like this guy? you know, or that'd be a different thing. He probably had to drop it off at a certain place.
It's pretty funny to watch these guys, you know, stuff these ice cold Cokes, you know, down their pants and stuff so that they don't get caught with them walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they'd get fired if they got caught with one of those.
Yeah. Hey, you, is that a Coke in your pocket? Are you just happy to see the pilot? Yeah. I don't know. But, okay, so we won't take down cans of Coke or Pepsi or whatever.
It'll be a little bit different once you... once it's free, you know, where you can go back and forth.
Well, I'm what I'm telling you is evidently it's kind of like that now. I mean, they're already opening up commercial flights.
When I was doing it, it was people would go down for humanitarian stuff or if they had relatives that lived back and forth.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, there's commercial flights going back and forth.
Yeah. I had been offered to do this before, and I didn't do it because I didn't really want to, you know, travel down to Cuba and not be able to invite other folks to follow my flight path or, you know, go down there and do some diving because you could get into trouble if you weren't going down there for a legitimate reason, like, you know, getting rid of an old T-shirt or something. You know, I guess you could use that excuse, but I was waiting for it to get a little bit more legit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's other ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like
what? Going from another country.
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, but still, you're still technically American. You can do that legally and travel that way through the Bahamas or Canada or whatever. But you're not technically supposed to spend any American money there, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's still some wiggy areas like that, but it looks like it's opening up. We've all seen the news and that kind of thing. So my friend has invited me to come down there, do some diving, and we would actually be doing some research, some underwater dive, you know, research on fishes and lionfish and how they're doing with the reefs down there. And I'm thinking, hey.
Is fishes the word?
Fishes?
Fishes, yeah, you swim with the fishes. You've heard this.
It is.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, Keith doesn't even swim.
No, you swim with the fish.
You swim with the fishes. Haven't you seen The Godfather? Come on.
That's right.
No, I have not seen The Godfather.
Really? Man, he doesn't swim. Hadn't seen The Godfather.
Haven't seen Star Wars either.
How does he know what?
Blasphemy.
What? Are you kidding me?
No.
Any of them.
None of them. I've never seen any of them.
You have not went to the new Star Wars.
He's not went to any of
You're
them.
The only person on the planet who has not seen Star Wars.
He's the only kid that grew up in the 70s and 80s that didn't see Star Wars.
Probably.
What is wrong with you, Keith? I'm really starting to question your sanity.
I'm not sure we have enough time on the radio.
Yeah, I'm
talking about what's wrong.
Nor are we sufficiently degreed enough in psychology to figure that out.
Well, true. But honestly, who cares? He's a pilot.
But
he
can sum it up in just a couple words.
Mm-hmm.
We'll refrain from those type of words on the radio. I got in trouble last time I used them.
Yeah, well, that's why we have this delay. Anyway, so here's the deal. We can go down to Cuba. You can fly us, despite the fact that you haven't seen Star Wars. I'll let that slide. And your game
still wants to hang out with me.
But, well, what would you need to do to file a flight plan like that? If we were just taking, say, well, the four of us, us three, and we bring down our buddy Neil. Maybe Captain Walt would join us. You know, so we get a small little plane like that. What do we? If I got the exemption because we're going down there to do some diving, Keith. And you basically would be our captain and, you know, pilot in charge and man the flight for us. We can get down there. We got accommodations and diving all squared away. What do you think?
It shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah? I mean, what would be the process?
I think basically the same as going to the Bahamas.
There are issues.
Yeah, there's still.
There's still insurance issues that you're being prohibited to go to Cuba. So you would have to get a special policy to cover that trip.
What, to cover the airplane that you're flying?
Yeah, because everyone we have is excluded. Bahamas and I believe Haiti are excluded on our insurance policy.
Not the Bahamas.
What?
Cuba and Haiti.
And Haiti.
Are excluded on our insurance
And why
policy.
Would that be? Because they just don't like those islands or what? What's up with that? They don't think they have the infrastructure
Cuba,
to handle it?
It was illegal for us to fly there and even overfly there. That you have to have special insurance to overfly Cuba as well. Now, remember the people who run the dive shop in the Caymans, they bring their Turbo 206 back and forth all the time to the dive show here in Orlando.
Right.
And, you know, they have once again, special. And it's a U.S. registered airplane. They have special insurance, so they can get the overfly to Cuba.
Okay.
Well, so once again, we find out that it's not the FAA who runs this aviation industry. It's the insurance company.
So we got to get some insurance schmo to kind of give us the green light and say, yeah, okay, go.
Well, see, it's not schmo, it's mo. Money.
Do you think it'd be outrageous? Or do you think it may not be that bad?
It's not going to be outrageous.
Especially now when they're trying to loosen up the restrictions a little bit.
That doesn't mean anything to the insurance companies. They still see it as a risk, so they're going to charge extra for it because they can.
Well, risk of what? That Fidel will want to ride back with us or something? I don't know. I don't like the sound of this.
It's a risk that somebody would do something to the airplane down there.
Like fly it away from that island, maybe. I could see that being an issue. All right, we'll come up with something like a LoJack device or something we can put on the plane to appease these insurance weasels. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake.
We were all meant to fly. Spread your wings across the universe.
This is Just Plain Radio. Gregor, co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew, and maybe we'll get to Cuba in 2016. Who knows? We're going to work on it. It'd be a great New Year's resolution to make come true. And I think one way or another, whether we get to fly privately and have Captain Keith or Ed man the helm or have to go commercial due to insurance reasons, one way or another, I think it's going to happen. I feel it. And I'd like to fly privately, though. I mean, this other guy, evidently this friend of Neil's flies down there like once a month. So it can't be that much of a bit. You know, you used to do that all the time, right, Keith?
Yeah, we did.
So, and how did you fly down there? What was the deal? Was that a private thing or was that regular service that you were doing for an airline or what?
Basically, it was charter service.
It was charter service.
Yeah.
So if you wanted
to... that was a number of years ago when... The only reason you could go down there was for either humanitarian or, you know, missionary work, or if you had family that lived either here or there, so you could go visit them.
Or if you wanted to go down there and count a bunch of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? So it would count somewhere. I mean, do you know some folks that still do that out of Orlando? They run down to Cuba?
No, they do it out of Miami.
Miami.
Because they have to clear customs or
right.
something there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. We'll have to look into that, see what we can do. But, you know, there's been a lot of other aviation news and information. And, you know, as I predicted, right after Christmas, I said, look, get ready. The drones are coming. And all hell is going to break loose. And sure enough, there has been a story this week that already the president encountered a drone in Hawaii. But that really wasn't the big news in the aviation world. What eclipsed drones as a problem for private pilots was turtles. Did you see this story?
Mm-mm.
There was a guy who obviously is a proponent of you know, the quadcopters and the drones and stuff, and he put out this article last week explaining that, hey, look, the FAA is requiring us to register our drones that we buy now, and they're trying to, you know, get this under control. Here are the facts. There have been like 189 interactions with planes and turtles over the last 10 years or so, and there have been zero incidents of a drone in a plane. There have been close calls, but there hasn't been any contact. But there have been like 189 contacts with planes and turtles. And we're freaking out about drones. It's the turtles that are the problem.
I've seen a lot of turtles on the runway.
Have you? Have you ever run into one of those speed bumps?
No.
No.
Well, evidently 189 folks have since like 1990 or something like that. He went back and looked at the research.
So let's see what 10 years research. From now,
yeah,
what the drone incidents are.
Well, exactly. It's kind of an absurd argument to make. He was kind of being half, you know, he was joking kind of, but trying to make a point that, hey, they're making maybe much to do about nothing. I'm not so sure I agree with that, though.
Well, wildlife has always been an issue.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I will admit I never thought turtles were a problem. But when you're trying to land on the runway and there comes that slow turtle.
You report it and you miss it.
Or you miss it or you take it as a speed bump.
I hit four coyotes one night.
He sounds proud of that, Key.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, four of them. Hit four of them on landing one night.
Four in one fall swoop.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, did they make it?
Three of them were killed instantly.
Wow.
The fourth one, the airport authority beat to death with a shovel.
Oh, golly. Wow.
And the reason why they did that is because they didn't want to have to do the miles of paperwork that would be involved if they discharged a firearm on the field.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
So, okay, let's just whack them with a shovel.
They just beat it with a shovel instead of just pulling out their gun and just shooting the thing in the head one time and it's be done.
Okay. That's a very uplifting story. But the fact that you took out three coyotes in one pass is pretty impressive. Were they running away when you tried to land the plane or?
No, they were nice and evenly spaced across the runway.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a jet, once you bring the power to idle, you're pretty much committed to the landing.
Right.
And so unless you've got a nice long runway where you can, because it's about a 5 to 6 second delay to get the power back up to full power to take off again.
Yeah.
So unless you got a nice long runway, once the power's at idle, you're pretty much done.
So they were running away from the plane, but just
basically. No, they just kind of stood there and looked at it coming in.
Now, I've had a coyote down at the executive do that. We're doing night takeoffs and landings. It was just standing in the middle of the runway, about 3/4 way down.
Yeah.
You see the eyes looking at you because the light's flashing at it and, holding on it. And
these are right in the touchdown zone.
Yeah, this guy was further down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't doubt that there are coyote statistics with plane interactions and those particular animals. But evidently, there is definitely some issues with turtles. So, I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but it's kind of...
Sandhill cranes is another one.
Oh, yeah. We hit one
of them, too.
We had a Seminole almost hit one down in South Florida. Yeah. They'd take off the runway early morning, and the sandhill crane standing in the middle of the runway.
Yeah.
And before the instructor could do anything, the customer yanked the airplane into the air at about 60. And Seminole doesn't fly until about 70.
Yep.
It got up just enough to clear the bird and then whoomp, back down.
Nice. So he did a little bird hop.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, well.
I went through mine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Once again, I see with a point the guy was making that maybe you got to put some of this in perspective. But I don't know. I think all hell's about to break loose. I mean, there was a lot of those things sold at Christmas. And now the guys are selling them or flying them all over. You saw the thing in Hawaii, the motorcade. He spent his holidays out in Hawaii, the president did. And the guy was flying a quadcopter, and he had no idea the president was around. And
but
she
wouldn't.
Maybe. I think they kind of give you a heads up.
If he was a pilot, and then he would have access to TFRs, would then know.
Yeah.
But if he's not a pilot or not following the rules that they're going to be outlined for him, then, no, he wouldn't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he complied immediately is when he realized it was no big deal, but it caused a bit of a ruckus and made the news and everything. And, that's just a minor thing, having someone do that. But when you do it around an airplane, God help us. And I don't know. I think it's going to happen. I don't know how many of those Millennium Falcons were sold.
Well, one less than I would have liked.
Yeah. I talked to your wife about buying you one.
She didn't understand what you were talking about, and that was 2 months ago.
No, I talked to her like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
I told her to buy him, and she goes, oh, hell no.
I talked to her about it, too.
Yeah.
She obviously doesn't listen to us.
No, she didn't.
Think about what you just said.
He's getting coal in his stocking.
How'd you know?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Okay, so drones have been in the news, as we predicted, with the president this past week, and I'm sure we're going to have a few more stories pop up throughout the year. But I also saw this other video on YouTube of a new helicopter drone that actually flies two people like a drone, but it's, a big drone. It's kind of like a hybrid between a helicopter and a drone. Do you see this thing?
No.
Does it sound exciting?
No.
No? Supposedly, it's very easy to fly.
Remember, he's still in the bah humbug mood.
Well, true. Yeah. Come on, it's a new year.
You said drone. Do I ever get excited about drones?
You don't like me to drone on about drones.
Exactly.
But it's just that, this is the new reality.
Just drone radio.
Well, you know what? It could end up being that. I mean, if they start migrating these things into real flying vehicles.
Then it's not a drone anymore.
What would that be called? It looks like a drone. It just carries people. It's still a drone.
Then it would be an aircraft.
Well, isn't a drone an aircraft? It's an unmanned aerial vehicle, or UAV, right?
I would call it an aircraft.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it had two people in it and it's flying like a helicopter, I guess it's not a UAV, is it, anymore?
Because it's not unmanned.
Right. So, I don't know what that would be called. But so it's supposedly it's much easier to fly than a typical helicopter because it has several propellers, several small
stabilization,
ones.
The same technology that we're talking about.
So you basically just fly it with your iPhone is what it looked like to me, just like you would a drone. So that's a good thing, isn't it? If helicopters would be easier to fly. Now, this one they had as a prototype would only do like 50 knots. But it would still go and take you here to there, I guess, which would be kind of cool.
Get off the I-4 traffic.
That's right. True. Just get out of traffic, if nothing else. So,
even at 50 knots, you're still going to get there faster.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's still under the drone, umbrella, you're not a fan. Is that what you're kind of alluding to there, Ed?
No, that's not it at all.
No? I'm putting words in your mouth?
I think it could be a fun aircraft to fly, but it's not a drone.
So as long as it's not technically termed a drone, you're okay with it.
That's right.
He's crazy.
Look,
that's okay.
Talking.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Just Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so a lot of aviation news and information has already kicked off for 2016. And one of them is the Honda Jet got their certification. You guys see this stuff?
Yep.
So that's a good thing.
That's a real good thing.
I'm anxious to take a ride in one of them puppies. But I don't know if you saw the big presentation where they got their certificate. They made a big to-do about it. And, you know, there were streamers and lights and staging and all kinds of stuff. And they videotaped this thing. And I guess the head of Honda or the project, you know, they've been working on this thing. I didn't realize it had been this long, 18 years.
Yeah.
And they finally got their certification. And he was up there on stage and teared up. But then it kind of took a weird turn because Kenny G was on stage playing some song that evidently inspired him and got him through the rough patches of designing the Honda Jet. I'm like, really, Kenny G?
Kenny G?
Kenny G?
Saxophone Kenny G.
Was playing his kind of straight saxophone, whatever you call that thing.
Clever. Yeah.
And all his songs sound the same.
Our sons
God bless
would know
him.
What that was.
Maybe.
The band
geeks, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, all his songs sound the same, but he's very talented. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I was like, really? That's what inspired you and kept you upbeat was a Kenny G tune?
Well, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just like the Honda Jet is different.
Well, maybe that's what it was. He was, you know, cut from a different cloth. I would think if I heard Kenny G song and I was trying to design my plane, I think I'd probably fall asleep. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very soothing. You know, and maybe that's what it was. He needed that to kind of maintain a calm, cool demeanor after 18 years of frustration working with the, you know, FAA to get their certification.
It's not easy to start a brand new from scratch drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that is similar to an airplane, really, excuse me, on that airplane is the fuselage, really, and even that's really different.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, the engines are in a weird place.
Yeah, mounting those things on top of the wing.
Well, and the tech that's actually changed in the 18 years they've developed it, trying to keep up and integrate that into the design.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they started out with the G1000. Now they've got the G3000 in there.
Right.
So the Japanese, you know, trick to doing one of these things evidently is Kenny G. That's her secret weapon. So there you go. I didn't know until I saw the video.
Cats out of the bag now.
You know, every time you get on a Honda Jet, I don't know if you're going to be hearing, you know, Kenny G music play. That might be built into the whole experience of riding one of these puppies. Maybe.
Maybe.
I would.
I wonder if they're using that for the MRJ.
The MRJ?
The Mitsubishi Regional Jet that they're making?
Oh, no, I don't know.
No, I think, no, that'll be more of a metal type of thing. And the guy from Iron Maiden, no, he's the lead singer from Iron Maiden. Is a Cirrus owner and pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he do some stuff for Cirrus? So when you get in, you know, walk into a, you know, to inspire them to design their planes, evidently they were listening to 666, the number of the beast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, different strokes, different folks. You know what I'm saying? Whatever motivates them to create these magnificent machines that take us through the skies, God bless them. Whatever it takes. Kenny G, Iron Maiden. What are you going
to
do?
I can't wait to fly with those Honda Jets.
I would like to as well.
Yeah. You know anybody who's had any experience with them at all? I believe Abington didn't.
I know one of their sales guys.
You do? So yeah. You have an in. Or And maybe that's what.
Well, you know, I don't know if knows. I have an in, kind of like you have an in the celebrity arena.
Well, if it's kind of how I operate, when people know me, that's usually a negative. So that might work against us.
That's what the problem's been. Yeah. We know him.
Well, we can cut that off.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Who is he?
See ya.
George? I don't know. Who is that guy? Anyway, but all right, so you got the Honda Jet coming online, so they'll start shipping. They plan to do several a month, I guess, very soon.
Yeah.
On deliveries.
Yeah, with that process, they've had them in the production line, so these airplanes are basically ready for delivery.
Yeah.
That you know, that once they have the ability to say, okay, they're certified, the whole process has been certified, and they're actually ready to roll out and start deliveries because their airplane's sitting there on the assembly line.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, let's change gears slightly here. Take a deviation because, you know, we are still kind of in the holidays, tail end of it. Next week, we'll be back in full force as well as everybody else back to their jobs and their 9-to-5ers. So everybody, with the exception of Keith, has seen Star Wars. And you know, Ed is a huge Star Wars fan. I loved it. I wouldn't call myself a huge fan of Star Wars. I love Star Wars, and I saw it on opening day. I mean, yeah. It was something I definitely wanted to see for sure. And man, it was a great movie.
Yeah.
But you know, with all the stuff in Star Wars, do you think this could actually be a good thing for aviation? Because they're flying them starfighters. How much different can they be? With the exception of one guy pointed out to me, who was an aviation friend. And we're watching the movie, and he goes, you know, they got the X-Wing fighters, but wait a minute. They're in space, and they're moving their X-Wings, their wings, to make it more aerodynamic in space, and they don't have to! So it's not
there. That's attack position. That just so that they have their cannons aimed in the appropriate place.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
That's why.
Mr. Star Wars speaks.
If you go to the first episode and they lock them in attack position.
Okay, well, I'll accept that for a starfighter, but this actually was a different plane. It was the plane that Darth Vader, well, the new Darth Vader, what's his name? You know this.
Kino Reen or something
like that. Yeah, we'll go with that. And but he comes down to the thing, and the wings kind of fold up when they land, but then it takes off in space from the mothership, and the wings fold out like an airplane. And I was like, wait, and he goes, yeah, they're in space. They don't have to have wings, really, because it doesn't propel the same way, does it? No, and I was like, I don't know.
No, there's a vacuum. There's no reason for that.
So,
but if
that's
you,
all
if
for
space station doesn't have wings.
If you look at the original version of that spacecraft, a smaller version of that they used in the first few movies, was much smaller, but it had the same thing. The wings folded up for landing because it went into inside the mothership, the Star Destroyers are into.
But why would it open up when it comes out of the mothership? That was his point. He goes, this is bogus, man. I'm not buying it. I'm like, dude, it's Star Wars. Are you kidding
me? Probably
because
people can't, you know, understand that.
Because
all they know that can fly is an airplane.
Well, exactly. And
the,
that's
the
what
average
I'm
person well, does.
Yeah,
but if you look
the Millennium
at, if you
Falcon
look at
doesn't
the,
look aerodynamic whatsoever.
No, but the point is that in space you don't need wings. That's why rockets don't have wings.
Well, I think as he was pointing out as an aviator enthusiast that they got it wrong, that the Star Wars folks got that particular element wrong, and he was calling them on it. This is how nerdy he is, obviously, but I'm bringing it up. I mean, does this make you question your belief in love of Star Wars, Ed?
No, it's a movie for entertainment.
Okay, I'm just saying. You know, people point this stuff out. I mean, any little, you know, minute problem you get with the fanboys wrong.
And that's the thing. If you look at the Star Trek and you look at a lot of the other sci-fi type programs, they spend a lot of time trying to get science right.
Correct.
Star Wars really is just about pure entertainment.
It's
a story.
It's a look into the future. Are you kidding me? Come on. That's going to be our future. No?
No.
You don't believe it.
But then you look at Star Trek and all
Does
the things that
have happened.
Does
anything from the original Star Wars
what
come from back in, what, 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it hadn't happened yet. Well, even back then, it was back, you know, that we were well beyond our lifespan. Even the original Star Wars was placed, well, it wasn't like Back to the Future where we just celebrated back to the future.
And then what was before that? Wasn't there a TV Star Trek or whatever?
Star Trek. More things have become a reality out of Star Trek than out of Star Wars. If you look at their communicators.
Mm-hmm. Cell phones. So,
you know, the flip cell phone looked like a Star Trek communicator.
Yeah.
You know, the little instant food thing. Well, you know, heck, that's a vending machine. And
MREs.
Microwave.
You know, that. And, you know, so there's a lot that's come out of that. You know, the automatic sliding doors. They had those. You know, stuff like that. Yes, that stuff has come out of it. But
it's been Star Trek, not Star Wars.
Yeah, much more Star Trek, I believe.
Yeah, we haven't had giant human Bigfoot people working for us. Keith is a little hairy and tall.
Yeah, if he let his beard grow, he kind of looked like Chewbacca. Kind of sounds like Darth Vader.
Take off your shirt. Let's see that hairy back.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Stop, think, react. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain why this golden rule of diving can be a worthwhile life lesson next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Panic is a diver's worst enemy. Giving a person the tools and mastery to overcome various in-water scenarios is a major goal of a scuba certification course. This is the REACT portion of the rule divers use to overcome potential panic situations. Stop, think, react. Works great in diving and works great in everyday life, too. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You're no saint. You got a free cab, you got a free room, someone who'll listen to your boring stories. I mean, didn't you notice on the plane when you started talking, eventually I started reading the vomit bag?
I'm getting drunk on a plane.
Buying drinks for everybody but the pilot. It's a party. Got the 737 rocking like a G. This is some sexy lady pouring coke and whiskey. Told her about my condition. Got a little mile high flight attention. It's Mardi Gras up in the clouds. I'm up so high, may never come down. I'll try anything to drown out the pain. They all know why I'm getting drunk on a plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg and co-pilot, that's me. Happy New Year to you. Captain Ed and Captain Keith in the studio with me as well. However, at the airport is our good friend Abington, and she is with us right now, you know, in between flying around the Caribbean and that kind of stuff. I don't know. She flew on Christmas Day. I don't know if you flew on New Year's too, but you've been doing quite a bit here lately. Am I right, Abington, or what?
I've been flying like a crazy person, yeah. So much so that I almost think I don't want to fly right now. Just yeah. kidding. But I was like,
wait
today
a minute.
Was, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Today was rough. Really, really rough.
Yeah.
So.
Because you're trying to get back home to Vegas and, yeah. you know, do what, the jump seat deal as a pilot, you know, kind of thing. But you got stranded. What was it? Because of weather or what? What happened?
Well, at first I have to apologize for any of the loud voices in the background.
Well, it's an airport.
Literally. Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
What are you saying, huh?
Yep.
But
you said she was going crazy?
Loud,
is that the voices in her head that we're hearing?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah.
But basically, I'm at the mercy of the airlines, and
we
I had, you know, you can jump seat around, which is great, but not great during the freaking holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to be put on a flight above a revenue passenger, because they call you a non-rev since you're not paying for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, these good, fine people have paid for their flights and they've gone canceled on and they've gotten delayed and
yeah.
everything else. So, of course, the airlines are going to take care of them first. So you are like scum at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. There's
Welcome
no way.
This could
to
be
your
the first
airline career.
You know what? This might be the first time ever we've talked to Abington from the Abington Watch Company and not wish we were her. You know what I'm saying? She's usually, you know, cruising through the Caribbean and hanging in St.
Bart's. I've been where she's at a little bit. Keith's been there a lot.
Yeah.
And I do not envy her in the least bit.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first time ever. I've always wanted to be her. Well, when I say that, that's a little
low. They have operations
for that. So much, so much, Greg.
Yeah, okay, but so what is the, you know, the message or moral or, you know, the lesson learned from this story? Just don't work during the holidays or try to jump seat during the holidays? Is that it?
Or anytime during spring break or what else, Keith?
Mm.
Oh, we could go on and on. It all depends on which part of the country you're in.
Yeah.
But when you're coming through Orlando... Yeah, you've got spring break, and then you got bike week, and then you got speed week, and then speed week, and then bike week, and
then spring break.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
and not to mention
then Easter,
Christmas, and Easter. People come here to go to Disney World when they have time off,
and then they have all the dance competitions, and then they have the gymnastic competitions, and
Well, where are you, Abington? You're not in Orlando. You're what? Houston? Is that what you were telling me?
I'm in Houston. I came in on the red eye last night. I sat in the cockpit, which was super fun. The pilots were great. It was on a United flight. And then I tried to connect through an Air Canada flight because the United connection flight got canceled because the airplane had maintenance. Hmm. So I came to Air Canada. But here's something that many jump seat pilots know. You typically just go up to a gate and say, hey, I want to hop on this flight if I can as a jump seater.
Right.
And they take a look at it and they try and do it. Air Canada out of Houston doesn't.
Hmm.
So just keep that in mind if you ever need to fly Air Canada, because they're operated by a contractor, Swissport. And Swissport just looks at you like, call the phone number.
Wow.
So
you were like below scum for Air Canada is what you're trying to say?
I was scum talking to contract scum of Air Canada. That's so it was like a scum conversation where none of us knew our ass from our head. Like we just didn't know at all what to do. So,
yeah. All right. So you're stuck in Houston for, I mean, are you like just wandering
it's an adventure.
The airport? I mean,
I was, yeah, since 5 o'clock this morning. And I just,
ouch.
I, you know, it happened.
Non-rev from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally, with a bunch of irate people all around me that are trying to get home, and it's cold outside, and it's just like, oh, I want to be in the Caribbean.
Well, you get to hang out in the like Admiral's Club or something all day, right? Is that it?
That is one of the nice things about having my American Express is I can hang out in the Priority Pass lounges and the American Express lounges.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, I've gotten food. I've been able to connect to good Wi-Fi. I've been able to, like, sit down in a comfortable chair, not have kids screaming around me, all that kind of thing where I can, like, concentrate and figure out a flight. And so I was there. I even had a couple beers because I just needed them today. but I did end up calling... I called that Air Canada phone number, and they were able to put me on standby on a 4 o'clock flight that's now been delayed to 5. But I can at least get out today because United rebooked me on a flight for tomorrow morning, which means I'd be like sleeping on the floor of Houston Airport. And that just didn't sound like a good time.
Welcome to the life as a pilot.
Yeah.
Have you had to overnight in an airport, Keith?
Many times.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're like one of those homeless people we see in the hallways?
Yeah. They call them airport bums.
Mm. They call them pilots in uniform.
They call them pilots.
That's just my pilot for my flight tomorrow morning, sleeping on the bench.
Wow. Okay.
And all over the place.
Well, you got to take the good with the bad. I mean, last time we talked to you, Abington, you were in St. Bart's living with the Victoria swimsuit models.
She was much happier back then.
She did seem a little bit more, you know, bubbly, bright, and bubbly. She sounds slightly on edge.
She kind of matches Ed this week.
Oh, so I'm not the only Grinch on the radio today.
No.
It's contagious.
I'm a bit Grinchy.
Yeah.
It's because I haven't heard Kate's voice. Keith, just call me and just soothe my soul.
What would you say
to
her, Keith?
Need.
I could do that, but we'll save that for off the air.
Yeah, actually, we're out of time.
Yes.
So spare that little intimate moment just between you two.
Thank you.
Anyway, that'll have to do for now. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.